is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It must be the spirit of the Lord. Shakotosaya. Hallelujah. A sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Shandabahosata. It must be the spirit of the Lord. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Hallelujah. Sweep over our soul. Hatashama. Sweep over our soul. Abahasata. Nahashanda kosotaya. Hallelujah. Shanda. Speak. Lord, speak. Matabahoshanda. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. Halabahushanda Makosaya. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just draw from the Lord right now. Halahushanda Masa. Maruhu Tashanda Bakosaya. Hallelujah. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak. Speak, Heavenly Father. Stay right here with us. Hallelujah. Fill us with your love, Lord. Fill us with your love. Come on, draw from the Lord. Fill us with your love. Elohu Shanda Bakasata. Mama Hasanda Bahusha. Hallelujah. Don't you know you can receive of him right now? Hallelujah. 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 Kito Shanda Bahusataya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Let us turn this morning the book of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. Verse 21. Entire discourse would have started from verse 1. disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Bible says that Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. So he's answering their question. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Tell somebody, no sin can enter there. Turn to somebody and say, no sin. Say it like you believe it. No sin can enter there. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who becomes as humble as the child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. All of us can be great in the kingdom of heaven. All we have to do is to be humble as a child. He went on from there and he begins to talk about the parable of the lost sheep. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Jesus says, won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for that one lost? And if he finds it, he will rejoice over the one that's lost. He's revealing the heart of God. And Jesus says, so it is likewise. My heavenly Father does not want anyone to perish. Come on, saints of the living God. It is not his will. He does that. That's not his desire for anyone to perish. And if we are the believers of Jesus, we ought to have that same desire. The church does not desire that anyone should perish. Turn to your neighbors and say, I don't want anybody to perish. Turn to your neighbor and say, turn to your same neighbor and say, do you mean what you say? Ask them, look them squarely in the eyes and slowly ask them, do you mean what you have said? I see folks asking the question, and I'm going to show you exactly what's happening. They're asking the question, do you really mean what you have said? They're not waiting for a response. They're halfway in asking the question, they turn their head away. Jesus does not want anyone to perish. But he wants all to come to repentance. And that's the attitude of the church. And so if our desire is that none should perish, then it means that we should live by it. By sharing the good news of Jesus. That's not my subject this morning. But Jesus went after that and he started to talk about the subject of correcting another believer. And then Peter, the first instance, the first question, Matthew said, he was asked by the disciples. But this question now is coming directly from Peter. Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Is it 7 times? I like Peter. I don't know if Peter was asking this because of a situation that he was facing. Or perhaps one of the members were facing a situation. But I'm going down the pathway of Peter having a challenge. And Peter is saying, Master, I want to understand something. How often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Is it 7 times? What this tells me is that offense will come. People will transgress against you, or people will offend you. It may come from your closest friend. It may come from your partner in life. But Peter wants to have a proper understanding of how to deal with someone who has offended you. He said, is it 7 times that I should give that person opportunity or forgive him 7 times? Let me know, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, not 7 times. Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Jesus likes to give us a little what we call a parable or a story with a deep spiritual meaning. So he gives the answer and then he proceeds to share a parable or a story to the disciples. Jesus said, let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. What it can be compared to. I want you to have an understanding about what this kingdom is about. Tell somebody, I'm in the kingdom of God. We're all in the kingdom of God. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. So the first thing we understand, Jesus is using a story of a king, of a master and his servants. And in the mind of the master, as time progresses, he now says, it's time to settle some accounts. I want to speak to all those who owe me something. Tell somebody there's a day where all accounts will be settled. If you believe in the kingdom of God, you've got to believe that there's a day coming when all accounts will be settled. Whatsoever man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Wherever the tree falleth, there shall it lie. So, in the process, the master calls for everyone who owes him. You turn up this man who owes him millions of dollars. It's verse 24. 10,000 talents. That's equivalent to millions of dollars. The Bible said that he couldn't pay his master. The debt was so much that he couldn't afford to pay. The master says, let me have your children, your wife, and everything you own. I'm going to sell it to settle this account. So this man is about to lose his life. He's about to lose everything in life. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, pleaded with him, please, Lord, be patient with me, and I will pay it all. First thing we have to understand, the proper setting of this text, or this story. The master owns everything. Those days, if you're a slave, everything you own belongs to the master. Your property, your children, everything belongs to the master. And it's not like slavery, which we happened in the 1800s, 1700s, and people were treated so badly, or that happened in the time of Egypt. If you think about slavery, our folks who are servant, even in the Jewish, amongst the Jewish people, they couldn't treat them badly. Because God already instructed them how they ought to be treated. They were to be taken care of. These slaves didn't have to work for food. Their master had to provide for them. So this man has a difficulty paying his debt. And the master said, I'm going to sell everything you have. Think about it, friends. That you owe somebody some money. This amount of money that he owes, he couldn't work it in his lifetime. The sum of money that was owed, he could not afford to accumulate all that money in his lifetime. So the question I have to ask, where did he get this money from? How could he have borrowed so much money from his master. When he begged and pleaded to his master was filled with pity, compassion. Something moved in the heart of the master. And he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me. And I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Scripture tells us that those who will not forgive must not expect to be forgiven. For the same measure they give will be the same measure that they receive. Let's look on the value of the debt that was owed. Doing some research, I found that the talent was originally a weight of probably about 30 kilograms of metal. And in those days, the monetary value at the time, the metal that was used was silver. So you're talking about 30 kilograms of silver. One talent. But this man owed 10,000. The currency then, a talent of silver was conventionally reckoned at 6,000 denarii. If one denarius was an acceptable day's wage for a labor, one was a wage for a laborer. A single talent would then represent what a laborer might hope to earn in half a lifetime. One talent. An average laborer would earn that in half of his life. This man owed 10,000 talents. It's a very large sum of money. 10,000 talents is 60 million denarii, or some 300 tons of silver. Ten thousand talents is the largest numeral for which a Greek term exists. And the talent is the largest known amount of money. So we're talking about millions, billions of dollars one man has owed. The second debtor, he owed his, verse 28, a few thousand dollars, 100 pence. That's what he owed him. Nothing to be compared with what the first debtor owed the master. What Jesus is painting here is the value of the debt that we owe. In other words, we owed a debt that we could not pay. I know we sing it. But have you stopped to meditate on it? To let it sink deep in your heart. That we owed something that we could not afford to pay. Jesus, when he heard the master, when he heard the words of the first servant, he knew that the man would not have the ability to repay him. But the man pleaded for his wife and his children and everything. He said, "Please, I want to pay you. Give me some time." The master was filled with compassion. Release him and forgave his debt. Does that sound familiar? We didn't even know the magnitude of the debt we had. It is the master that revealed to us by his love how sinful we were. If we are not careful, we sing, we shout, but we fail to remember how corrupt and how wretched we were. In this body dwelleth no good thing. We were miserable, corrupt, lost. Friends, when I say lost, I mean lost. Without any hope. No hope. Have you ever lost something in this life? Possibly invested, possibly bought something. And you had a debt on it. And you just couldn't pay it. You end up losing it. You know how that felt? Well, this feeling is different. This feeling supersedes that. But the master looked on the debtor, settled his account, forgave him everything. And no sooner that the master forgave him, he suddenly forgets. Friends, there's a danger when your slate is clean. When you come in contact with God, you become broken before him. He's going to do something for you. The challenge is, make sure When you leave, you still carry that broken spirit. If all you're excited about is what you have gotten or what you've been delivered from, you'll soon forget that you ought to always be broken before Him. Jesus said to His disciples that what you're getting from Me, you're getting it freely. You can pay for what I'm depositing in you. The grace that I'm giving you, you can pay for it. Everything that I'm going to put in your life, you can put a value on it, a monetary value on it. And so I want you to apply this principle in life. That everywhere you go, because you have gotten from Me freely, make sure that you give to everybody freely. Freely receive, freely give. James tells us about a man who looks in a mirror, sees himself. But no sooner he walks away from the mirror and forgets everything that he has seen. This is that kind of a man. He walks down the street and he saw a servant of his. So now he is the master. And when he saw the servant, he quickly remembered that this servant owed him a few thousand dollars. He demanded his servant to pay him. He said, "Pay me." Grabbed him by the throat. In other words, instant payment. Choking the man, barking down his ears, "Pay me." The man begged. He said, "I'm begging you, just give me a little more time. Be patient with me. I promise I will pay you." But his creditor couldn't wait or wouldn't wait. No patience. He arrested the man and put him in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Now, when I read my Bible, I'm trying to reason out things. I'm trying to put pictures in my mind as to what I'm reading, as to make some sense of what Jesus is saying. Now, I have to ask questions when I see questions. When I don't understand something, I have to ask. And I don't necessarily have the answer for this one. But what I want to find out is, if you put him in prison, how is he going to pay? Because you can't work in the prison. And even if they had that program where you could work, the value of your pay would be so small. So is it that this servant needs his money now? Listen now, there are some other servants who was a part of the first scene. They heard when Jesus dealt with the first man. And Jesus, they saw now that this man who had just received mercy from his master, they heard the second servant who just owed this man a few $100,000 using the same words that the man used to the master. So you see, friends, let's look on it. The first man, he said, "Master, beg him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Master forgave him, knowing that he did not have the ability to pay. But when he found his fellow servant, listen to the words of the fellow servant. He said, please be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. Same words. So the servants saw this and they were very upset. How could he act in such a wicked manner when he just received mercy and forgiveness from the master? And so the servants, they went back to the king and told him everything that had happened. Friends, somebody is taking note. Somebody is recording something out there. These servants in the story did not say anything to the man. They just stood, watched, saw what was happening, and went back to the king. Whether you believe it or not, somebody is taking note of our life. Somebody is watching every moment of our lives. Somebody is taking an account. It's written down. When he called, when they went back to the king, scripture said they told him everything. Friends, it's not a summary. Every detail will be recorded. So that tells me we ought to live every day as if we are before the king. When the king heard what had happened, king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil or you wicked servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? You both are in the same class. Shouldn't you have mercy on him? Just as I had mercy on you." And the king was upset, was angry, sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. What I get from this story is that there's a penalty to unforgiveness. Every believer has the ability to forgive. Because if you have Jesus, you have forgiveness. What Jesus is telling us here is that even if it is difficult to forgive your brother, look back on the debt that you had. In other words, that let that be the platform on which you will form your forgiveness. Because you had a debt that you couldn't pay. We had a debt that we couldn't pay. Peter said, Lord, is it 7 times that I should forgive my brother? Tell me. Jesus said 70 times 7. In the book of Genesis chapter 4 verse 13, we read of the account of Cain when he replied to God, when God gave him his punishment. Cain said, my punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence. That's a harsh punishment. He said, you have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me. Put verse 14 on the board. Genesis 4 verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be like a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. It shall come to pass, everyone that findeth me will kill me. And the Lord replied, no, for I will give thee a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you. And the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn everyone who might try to kill him. Then we find coming on the scene after Cain a man called Lamech. And he was not an easy guy. And so Lamech was a man of violence. Lamech made a declaration. He said, if it's 7 times for Cain, it's going to be 70-fold for me. So what Jesus was doing when he responded 70 times 7. Jesus was going back into scripture and looking on the heart of Lamech, saying to his disciples, that's not the attitude. I'm going to show you something. Make sure you forgive your brothers 70 times 7. And if we begin to try to calculate it, to arrive at a numeric value, we have missed the point of Jesus. Because what Jesus is saying, he wants us to know that forgiveness must not be calculated. Forgiveness must always come from the heart of the believer. Doesn't matter how much you have been offended, you must forgive at all times. Friends, if we understand what Jesus has done for us, it makes it easy or easier for us to forgive people. If we believe the words of Jesus, when he says by his own words that if you don't forgive your brothers, neither will I forgive you. Those words are not man's words. That's the final authority speaking. Jesus wants every believer to carry a spirit of forgiveness. In other words, our relationship in this life, one with the other, must be a lifestyle of forgiveness. Brothers, we are people. We are from a fallen nature. We are in the process of sanctification. Brother James can err. Sister Brown can err. We will not always get everything right. I can say something which I didn't know will offend you. But if I transgress against my brother, and my brother knows that I transgress against him, we can sing, clap, shout, and there's an issue. Somebody says, I'm watching that guy. I'm not going to release him. This is about the second time he has caused such a thing to happen to me. I'm not even going to talk to him. And he walks away with malice and bitterness in his heart. What he doesn't understand, that we are all on the same vine. The vine is producing all that we need to survive. Not survive, to live. You can't walk away from your brother when you're on the same vine. Where are you going? So because he has closed his mind to his brother, suddenly the vine realized that something is wrong with this branch. And all the vine is trying to send substance to the branch to heal it, to make it aware of what's happening, the branch closes off. And the father looks down on the branch and says, there's a spirit of unforgiveness in this branch. And because John says, my God, as he record, the Lord's talking about he's the vine and the father, the gardener, the husbandman comes down to his vineyard. And he looks on the vine and forgiveness, unforgiveness has caused that vine not to produce any fruit. So in the natural realm, The gardener comes, he looks on the vine and said, I've been inspecting this vine all these years. I have pruned it for it to produce, but no fruit is coming from it. So he cuts it off. It withers up as a sign that it needs to be cut off. The Father cuts it off. Men gather it to be burned. Unforgiveness is like grease or oil in the bloodstream. Get through the arteries, flows, the blood flows for a while. But what you didn't understand is that the blood was flowing slower and slower every day. Because in those veins, things were beginning to stick to the veins. There's just a small opening in the vein for life to flow through it. Because life is in the blood. And all of a sudden, one artery is blocked. But you're still moving. You still think you're living. But you have switched over to survival mode because of unforgiveness is in the depths of the heart. In other words, you are now in prison and you don't even know. And everything that comes out of you is bitterness. Because the blood can only produce what's inside of it. A short while, the next artery is clogged up by the oil. The whole man begins to slow. That three arteries are blocked. If you make it to the hospital, then you have to do a triple bypass. This time, it's a 50-50 chance. Death is in your pot. Unforgiveness is a killer. Brothers and sisters, this morning I'm going to go very slow, timely, because I want us at this moment, everyone just close your eyes. Who is the servant that's asking you for mercy? Want us to think, reflect on our own lives. Who is it that's living with us in our thoughts? Goes to work with us, comes from work with us, is at the dining table with us, is in the bed with us, is in the washroom with us. We can shake him because he's living with us. Because he's tied up to a spirit of unforgiveness. And what you don't know is that the man who hasn't forgiven his brother will be tormented, will be tortured, will be placed in prison. Think. Why is it that I don't want to forgive my brother? Is this worth more than my life? Is it worth more than my entire life? Yes, it is painful. The offense, the sin is painful. It has caused you, it has even shaped your character. Because some of us, our offense is from a child. And we wondered why we were treated in that fashion. Some of us, it's because of broken relationship. Now we have lived apart. And we're saying, it's okay now. But deep down, there's a crater. It's fine that we're apart. But if we come close to each other, suddenly, the feelings come back in my spirit. Jesus is saying, let it go. Jesus is saying, look back on the cross. Drag your memory back to the cross. There was a price that was paid for you that you could not pay. Let go your brother. Let go your sister. Who am I going to do it? By obeying Christ. Is it going to be easy? Not necessarily. Along your side. If you ask him, Lord, I want to forgive, but I don't find it in my heart. It's my desire to forgive my brother, but the pain is overwhelming. Won't you plead to him like you pleaded for your forgiveness? Plead to him and say, Master, help me. Brothers and sisters, there is a point in my life when there is an individual he would do some stuff at times that would hurt me so badly. I was struggling because sometimes he does some stuff. When I look back in the scriptures, I wondered how, as a believer, you could act that way. But it hurt me so badly. I was going to my bed at time with tears in my eyes. See, he was on my mind. The pain. Very painful. But I remembered there was a point in my prayer life. I was praying to God and I was saying, God, broaden my capacity to love people. I was asking, some folks say, enlarge my territory. That wasn't what my prayer. I was asking God, give me the ability, widen so I can love people. But what I didn't see, that it was the hand of God allowing my brother to allow God to stretch out. And so I go before God. I say, God, I'm finding it very difficult to relate to this brother. Talking about a church person. I say, God, it's difficult. But it's in me. I want to love my brother. Would you help me? I plead with him with tears in my eyes. I say, God, would you help me? Knows about it. I talked to her. Sister Kelly, how did God help me? In prayer. When I go down to pray, I started to bless his family. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And so, I began for God to bless him. And I wasn't just saying words. When I say it slowly. Because I was beginning to train my heart to agree with what I'm saying. Even when feelings weren't coming my way. And so, God is beginning to use me in that manner. I begin to pray for children. Pray for the union. Pray that the blessing of the Lord. And every time I pray. After a while, it became okay. Because sometimes the issue does not have to be with your brother. Sometimes it's you. I can hug that brother right now. I can love him. I can do anything right now. Because I recognize, and friends, from a point of maturity, you've got to know when a spirit is working in your brother. That you're not being distracted by that spirit. And label your brother by that spirit. Let's look. Mark chapter 15 as I close. Chapter 6 in the Lord's Prayer, he says, before we go to Mark 15, the Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive us of our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive those that trespass against us, that owes us. Oh, Jesus. In other words, brothers and sisters, saints, oh God, I feel it deep down inside. God will never forgive a man who has not forgiven his brother. And he says, you don't want to believe it? Heaven and earth. earth will pass away, but my word will remain the same. See this? That is the weight of sin I have. That I'm going to the Lord in prayer with. All this sin is in my life. And I go into that open door in the closet. I close the closet behind me. And I'm standing before the divine King. As a matter of fact, I can't even stand. Because the weight is so heavy. So I have to kneel before the King. And I said, Lord, forgive me of my trespasses, my sins. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm in front of the face of the eternal God, the one who is full of mercy and compassion, the one who wants to make an exchange, who wants to give us mercy and compassion and relieve us of sin. But when he looks on the load of sin on my life, that's those who are in the kingdom. He sees it and he's overwhelmed with compassion. But when he looks inside our heart, there's a small load in the pocket of unforgiveness. Something to settle with the brother is as small as this. He looks on it and he looks on the load of sin that we're carrying. Say, I want to relieve you, but I can't. Leave the closet. I can't help you. Go settle it with your brother before I can relieve you of your sin. Friends, tell somebody this church thing is real. It's not just a speaking in tongue thing. It's not an emotional thing. It's a reality. Some folks say it's not about works. But don't misrepresent the text. As Jesus say, you must do as he say. Works don't guarantee your salvation. It's by faith. But the believer does what God commands. Jesus says, because you refuse to settle this small matter, you will be thrown in prison. And I'm going to give you over to the tormentors to torture you. In other words, pain and suffering. Why? Just a small matter. Just something that will take probably three words. And a heart that agree with those words. I forgive you. Or two words. I am sorry. Forgiveness begins in the heart. It is a heart matter. It is not mental. It's heart issue. Your heart's got to agree with what your mind is saying. It's not solely a mental thing where you think about what you want to do. When you have thought about it, it's good. But your heart must agree with it. And I'm going to tell everyone, if your mind is made up to forgive somebody, God produces that anointing inside of you. He puts it inside of you to give you the ability to carry it through. Hallelujah. Because you of yourself can't do it all by yourself. If you go all by yourself, remnants of unforgiveness will remain. But if God carry you, that's why if we step out on the word of God, believing that if we don't forgive our brothers, there is no compassion for us. All those who believe, some folks want to run away this word and say, I forgive you so you can settle things, so that you may get your compassion. Hallelujah. Don't worry about tomorrow. One wasn't good enough. They applied. So when they whip him, they were whipping grace and truth. Just a one thing. Until they were tired. Other words. Jesus, hail Jesus, hail the King of the Jews. Jesus was not under an anesthesia. He was feeling the rusty nail or whatever it was in the palm of his hand. He felt everything going through. His hands must locked upon him. They pierce his feet. Stretch out upon a rugged cross. Shamahosa. And in the agony and the pain, the master felt thirsty. He said, I thirst. Shamahotasa. The best thing that humanity could offer him. Lay it down. And if I lay it down, I will take it up again. After the Lord has spoken this morning, if you leave these doors, you are guilty of an offense. If you have something, spread the table. Then will men know that you are my disciples. When you love one another, God don't expect us to agree with everything. God don't expect us to be like that. Foundation of that is love. We have a lot of folks who want to talk about truth, but don't know how. You have some truth. Pray and ask God. I have some truth, Lord, but I need the love. Somebody yet. You need help. We'll go places in God. And love. Friends, and hear my sayings. That's Jesus. Hear what Jesus says. And believe and do it. Jesus said, I'm going to show you what he's like. He's like a man who builds his house upon a rock, a solid foundation. No matter what kind of a waves come and beat on that house, it stands there waiting. Beat all you want. I'm standing. What we have in our churches or in our assemblies is it's filled up in our pulpits. It's filled up in our pews. People who are excited about Jesus but never want to obey what he says. Jesus says, I will show you who those people are like. It's like a man who wants a seaside cottage. Sounds like some of the churches we have. He wants a vacation property. Sounds good, eh? At any time, I can just look out over the horizon, watch the sunset. Everything looks good. But the waves, they're coming. The question. Because God has a moment when he tests everything. He will allow you to build, but the waves are coming. And so when that's what's happening in some of our churches. Lit up on a concept of emotion driven by good song services, never have anything to do with what Jesus says. You take some of these instruments out of the church and there's no anointing in the church. I'm going to root it up. Kusham Bahasaya. Mama Hasata. We're getting ready to cross over into 2020. But God's going to prove some things in 2020. Mark my words. Some struggles I carry in 2019, I won't carry it in 2020. God's going to deliver me. Ella Brown, I said, God is going to deliver me. He's going to deliver his church. That's why he's preparing us. He's going to deliver us of some. In the house of the Lord, you got to wrestle with some things. I don't have strength to wrestle with some things. Hallelujah. 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 Kata Shamba. Some spirits that affect us in 2019. When we cross over in 2020, you will have the ability to survive. I wonder why God's bring me down this road. Hallelujah. 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 That's why I'm telling every man right now, if you have an account to settle, settle it. Kata Shamba. Mahandi kata bohushataya. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. For everything in Faith Deliverance International Ministry that God Almighty never planned, He will root it up. You better make sure you're secured. We men, we have things that we can do. It's just fleshy. So because we see folks do it one way, we want to do it this way. And we do it and never talk to God. We plant some things in His vineyard that He's upset. Shambahusa, Hatamahusha, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. It's not within my authority to uproot these things. The Master's gonna do it. Hallelujah, Hallelujah. I'm telling somebody. We're not overwhelmed. We lock it in a box. Shanda. Hallelujah. Some folks need, oh God, even some families, couples, is take a moment, go out, lock. Tell him I'm sorry. Sorry for the way I've treated you. God has given me to you as a gift. And I'm sorry I haven't taken care of the gift. Houses, the walls are coming down in the houses. There's anger. There's bitterness. There's frustration. Some folks can't even sleep in peace. You need a moment with God to heal your wound. You're traveling with a wound. Shanda Bohosat. Doesn't matter if a child is 2 years old, they're going to pull from that wound. Stand to your feet, everyone. Not careful, as soon as we slip outside of this wall, we forget everything that was discussed. Some folks have the audacity to say, Pastor, you Chris, your life all right. Folks, there are times that I have offended Sister Maria. And I have to go. And I say, sweetheart, I'm sorry. Those words were not the best. I'm sorry. We can fool ourselves. Jesus says that when we're joined together, we become one flesh. And if I speak badly about Sister James, I'm speaking badly about myself. Because what you don't understand, this is a mystery. Though you see two, God sees one. And if Sister James is hurting, I'm feeling it in my spirit. And if I'm hurting, she's feeling it also. So, if I've hurt her, and she goes before God crying, Lord, I'm hurt by my husband. And I leave her on a Tuesday night. And I'm down here. And she's at home crying. I'm hurt. I'm down here making a fool of myself. Standing before God's people. Talking about for love. Talking about all these things. And people are saying, yeah, yeah. Well, yes, Pastor. I agree with that word. Who's prayer? God is hearing. Because he's feeling the pain of Sister James, and it's real. God will have a way to stop me, get my attention. So you think you're doing something for God. You leave home, leave family, talking about you doing works for God. Your family's in pain. You ain't working for the Lord. God is not in the ministry of destroying families. You're working for yourself. I don't even know why I end up here. But lift your hands everywhere. I don't know if anyone has the boldness. But is there someone struggling with the ability to forgive someone in their life? Probably it's a brother, probably it's a sister, probably it's a friend, probably it's a relative. I want to pray this afternoon that the Lord will give you the courage. That the Lord will give you, all you have to do is to say, yes, Lord, I want to do it. I don't even have to pray for you. If you say, yes, Lord, I want to do it, he will hear you. Hallelujah. Probably you never get the best treatment in life. And what you don't know is that God has always been watching you. And he sees your pain, and he was always carrying your pain. And while others mistreated you all through your life, the Lord was with you. Hallelujah. Even when you were sinning, the Lord was with you. He saw your pain. But now he wants you, that you've come to know the truth. He wants you to say, I forgive you. Probably you don't have the boldness to confront such a one. Possibly the only way you can do it, the different mediums now. You might can send a text message because you haven't reached a place where you can confront the person. Send a text. Probably it's a letter that you have to write. Write it. Post it. But just do as Jesus says. What is going to happen to you is that after you have done that, you're going to become a new person. You're going to feel a weight lift out of your spirit that you never know you had. When that weight is lifted, there comes the Spirit of the Lord to sit inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 Let us pray everywhere. Shandabakusaya.